Alan Horton, voice of the Minnesota Timberwolves. I feel like I should give him a significantly better introduction than we just did. Hi, Alan.
Guys, I think the last time we saw the Hopper was when maybe David Stern had those big envelopes.
That's right, the frozen one.
And he smashed the one with the, what was the Knicks?
It was
that
the
way they. Yeah, wasn't that one, the frozen envelope, too?
That was either frozen envelope or bent corner. There's all those little.
All of them,
I think it was both of them, yeah.
It was every conspiracy theory ever wrapped up into one right there, old David Stern. Alan, I have never heard so much conversation about playing time as we currently are about the Minnesota Timberwolves. We actually had a discussion with Sam Amick of USA Today yesterday about the Minnesota Timberwolves and their playing time. Is that a conversation in Minnesota at all?
Oh, it's been a conversation almost all season. It seems like it is brought up after every single loss. It's funny how it doesn't come up after wins, but it's a big topic nationally. It's a big topic locally. You look at some of the minute totals that have been accrued by the starters the last couple of games. Last couple of weeks, really all season, but specifically against Philadelphia on Tuesday night. And you're looking at 48 minutes for Karl Anthony Towns, 40-plus for Butler and for Wiggins. And, the debate has been raging about Tibbs relying on his starters too much. But here's kind of the deal, guys. I mean, early on in the season, Tibbs had a five-man bench unit that he would put out there. And then what happened was Shabazz Muhammad played his way right out of that group. He's played so poorly that they can't even put him on the floor. And Nemanja Bjelica, the NBA's leading three-point shooter for much of the early part of the season, got injured. And so it's basically been an eight-man rotation. And I think for the time being, that's what Tibbs is comfortable going with. I don't think it's a long-term type of solution. And they're hopeful to get Nemanja Bjelica back at some point. And when they do, then that'll be a nine-man rotation. And if that bench starts to play better, then you can play them more. It's really been a case of, Tibbs is about winning games, as every coach is, and he's going to do whatever it takes to win those games. And if that means the bench has got to only play 3 or 4 minutes during a second quarter stint, and that lead starts to evaporate or that deficit starts to grow, he's going to go back to the guys that can get him that lead. So it's really been a kind of a byproduct of a number of things, the injuries, Shabazz Muhammad not playing well, and overall the bench, when they've had an opportunity, has just not performed.
And Alan, what's different with the Timberwolves compared to like the Kings? The Kings, there's a tough set. It's not easy to separate player number one through player number 13. There's not a big gap. Well, your five that are playing all the time are your five best players. Is there someone that's on that bench, even if they're in that eight-man rotation, that you think maybe should get a little bit more minutes?
Yeah, probably. I think you can make a case for Tyus Jones, who played really well when Jeff Teague was injured for a 4 or 5 game stretch. I mean, Tyus was more than adequate during that time and really performed pretty well. But Tibbs has been reluctant to play two point guards at once. Teague and Jones have not shared the court at all together, which I think is kind of prohibiting, it's either one or the other. And when push comes to shove, he's going to go back to the guy who's getting paid $19 million a year, was brought in to lead this team, and Jeff Teague's going to get the nod. So that sometimes leaves Tyus with only, 10 to 15 minutes a game. Jamal Crawford, we've all seen Jamal throughout his years. It's very clear when he gets something going. I mean, he can be off on certain nights, but when he gets it going, gets hot, I think you could probably give him a few more minutes on those occasions when he does get things rolling. But it's also a matter of, well, who's coming out then? Is it whose spot is he going to take down the stretch? Is it Wiggins? Is it Butler? No, probably not. Is it Teague? No, you kind of need a two-point guard out there. And I think Tibbs has been a little reluctant to go smaller. Taj Gibson has been arguably the Timberwolves' most important player, having a career year and just being so solid for the Wolves. And then, of course, Karl Anthony Towns, his size and strength. And, he's the top guy. You're not gonna be sitting him in the last 5 minutes of a game. So it's been difficult to kind of, especially down the stretch, to get guys more minutes. And I go back to the bench having to play well. And I know it's not an easy job to come off the bench and not have much time to warm up and work yourself back into the game. You've got to be going as soon as you step on the floor. But the bench has to play better, I think, to earn the more minutes.
Kings at T-Wolves tonight. We'll have that game beginning for you at 5 o'clock. Voice of the Minnesota Timberwolves, Alan Horton, with us here on the Lowdown. Is there a learning curve? I mean, he's, this is – been around now a couple years. Is there a learning curve when playing for Coach Thibodeau there?
I think so. I think we saw that last year. The guys were kind of getting to know him and him getting to know the guys, and all while you're losing games made it awfully difficult. But I think when they brought in Jimmy Butler and they brought in Jamal Crawford and Taj Gibson and Jeff Teague, that helped kind of bridge the gap towards learning Tibbs' systems. You brought guys in specifically in Butler and Taj who just immediately, you know, rise up in the ranks in the locker room as far as leadership goes. And Jimmy Butler has been basically the conduit between Tom Thibodeau and the players. I mean, he's a guy that they see eye to eye. They've been together during the entire stint in Chicago when Tibbs and Butler were there together. So I think that's really kind of bridged that gap between the coach and what he wants, both offensively and defensively, even though the defense really hasn't kicked in. I mean, you're looking at a Wolves team that's, you know, top five offense, but bottom six defense. And that's really kind of been a surprise too, is the Wolves have not been better defensively. You know, even last year, I thought they would be better with Tibbs as their head coach. It didn't translate. And so far it hasn't translated this year either.
Alan, is there a trend that you've seen with this team this year that you would say this is the best version of the Timberwolves? And by that, I mean, is it when Towns is going off or it's really going through Butler or Wiggins has a big night? What do you think is what does it look like when the Timberwolves are at their best?
Well, it's been interesting, Jason. It's been when they've won, they've had to win close games. And that's something they weren't able to do last year. They had the worst record in clutch time in the NBA last year. And in holding on to double-digit leads and playing in the fourth quarter, and now they're starting to win those games. And so that has been, you know, most of the wins have not been blowouts, neither have the losses. It's been a lot of tight games. And I think that's one thing this team has got to figure out is ways, and I think it will come. It's still a work in progress. But what the Wolves have been able to do is even through the growing pains of not playing defense and maybe the minutes imbalance that there is on the roster, and the lack of three-point shooting and the three-point differentials really starting to grow here over the last couple of weeks, they've been able to fight through all that while still having a 16-12 record and still being fourth best in the Western Conference. They've got a lot of issues to work through, but they've put themselves in a great position. And I think as they do get a few more practices here, it's never easy during the season to find times of practice. And when you're playing guys lots of minutes, they've been resting a lot at home too. So that presents a problem, but I think they're going to improve. But again, I would love to see them be able to put their foot down. They lost that game in Philadelphia the other night, and they were up by 9 with 6 minutes to go. And yeah, coming out of a timeout, I said on the air, you know, this is a pivotal moment. Will the Wolves make two more plays and put this game away? A stop and a score makes it probably an 11-point, maybe 12-point game. And Philly hasn't come back from a double-digit deficit all year. You probably put them away. Instead, it goes the other way. Philly gets momentum, forces overtime, and the Timberwolves were completely done at that point.
Karl-Anthony Towns, as Kings fans will be reminded tonight, one of the most talented big men in the league, one of the most talented players in the league. But he's part of that ever-evolving position of the big man in the NBA. How much has that position evolved during your time covering the Minnesota Timberwolves?
Yeah, it's been incredible. I mean, I was talking to somebody about this the other day. Like, it's just, you know, it's more from what Karl-Anthony Towns is now. We just saw Joel Embiid, who I think takes the position to a whole nother level. Anthony Davis took it to another level. I mean, DeMarcus Cousins, that you guys know well there from the time with the Kings, he took the position to another level. It's just, it's incredible what these guys can do. And seeing Embiid in person the other night was just, you know, we only get to see them twice a year. Like, you guys do the same thing, but it's pretty incredible to see his size and strength and him be able to handle the basketball, shoot threes, take guys off the dribble, what he can do defensively. I mean, there's just the position, just there's no limits to what these guys can do. Is there anything those guys can't do? They can distribute, they can shoot, they can rebound, they can block shots, they can bring the ball up the floor, they can be a rim protector. They can do everything. And that's just, I don't think, you know, when I started 11 years ago, you just didn't have, there weren't guys that had that skill set. It was much more, you know, not one-dimensional, but much more maybe two-dimensional. While the guys these days, I just feel like are just like Swiss Army knives. They can just do a little bit of everything.
Alan, how's the fan base taking this year? Because the Kings and Timberwolves, they have the two longest droughts of making the postseason.
Yeah.
You guys are looking good at the moment right now, and we're a one-team town. You guys have other choices. Vikings having a great season. But what are the fans feeling like right now about the Timberwolves?
Well, it's funny. That's been the problem, is that I mentioned the 16-12. They're in the fourth spot in the West, right? I mean, everything's good. But no, you'd think the sky was falling. It's just, people are really latching on to the losses, because in those losses, that's when you look at the box score and everybody can see that the Wolves are playing a ton of minutes for their starters. They're getting into the fourth quarter, and their fourth quarter play is dead last in the NBA. And it really looks like it's because guys are getting worn down. They're settling for jump shots. Those jump shots are coming up short. They're having sloppy play and turning the ball over at a bottom five rate in fourth quarters of play. And it's obvious for everybody to see. So when it goes wrong, it is really glaring. And even in the wins, people are still just not too impressed with how they've been winning the games. Because like I said, it's been close games and close wins. Some of them have been exciting, but I think people are hoping that it could be more of not a blowout, but more of a comfortable type win.
Alan Horton, voice of the Minnesota Timberwolves, with us here on the Lowdown Kings and T-Wolves coverage beginning tonight at 5 o'clock. Kings Live with Jay Ross coming up at 4:30. Is that kind of a victim of, like, expectations?
I think it's expectations, and I think it's also the fact of history, of just how, this entire fan base, not just Timberwolves, but sports fan base in the Twin Cities has just, they haven't had a lot of success, and there's always this feeling that the rug is just going to get pulled out from underneath you. And it's even that way with Vikings fans. I mean, this season couldn't have gone much better at this point, and yet I think everybody keeps waiting for it to fall apart. And I think that's just the psyche of not only this fan, this sports area, but other cities have a similar type feeling. It's just, you've got to get back to, the Timberwolves when they won, when they got to the playoffs 8 straight years, it then became a routine. You could count on this team to win, maybe not go deep in the playoffs with the exception of 04, but at least you had that winning mentality and the thought that, hey, we're good enough. We should be winning games. We are winning games. It's just a different type of confidence. And when you go through 13 years of not reaching the postseason, I mean, it does a number on sports fans. There's no other way to put it.
You know, Alan, you'll have probably a different opinion of the Kings when you see them in person. I'm just curious what you think as you prep for them, looking to see them tonight, first matchup. Just what's your perception of what you've seen and heard about the Sacramento Kings this year?
Yeah, I'll have a better understanding after tonight, because it's funny, once you get wrapped up in the season, it's just you're focusing on who you're playing, and we have not seen you guys at all, and haven't seen much. I think from the offseason, my first thought was, how is this all going to mesh together? I mean, I think there's some intriguing young pieces, but how are those guys going to develop? How are they going to get the playing time? And I didn't quite get the, bringing in Vince Carter and George Hill and Zach Randolph, because there's an end game too. I mean, you're trying to develop these young guys. You're building after DeMarcus Cousins. You want to get these guys developed, but you also got an eye on that draft coming up too. I mean, let's face it. There's going to be some talent, some high-end talent in those top 4, 5, 6 picks. When I see Zach Randolph starting and playing really well in December and helping you to win games, I just wonder if at the end of the season, a win or two might cost you a spot. I hate having that philosophy of tanking and worrying about that, especially so early in the season. But I think for Sacramento, it's vital. So, I still kind of question how the rotations are going to go and how you're going to get all these guys in there, because there are just going through the roster. There are a lot of guys I think you'd like to see play and like to get some playing time so that they can evaluate their development and see if those guys are going to be a part of the future.
This is amazing. I think Alan just summarized every conversation we've had since the season started.
And he's not even here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
No, well, not even there, right?
Everything you just said, Alan, is a constant. Like,
it's every day, our show every day.
Yesterday's a perfect example, Alan, because the Kings beat Phoenix the night before at the Golden One Center. And there's a mix of, all right, look, hey, good, got the win. And there's a mix of, no, that's
this
good.
This guy didn't play.
Right, that's going to cost us a draft. Exactly the words you just used. I think Alan's listening and texting is what I actually think, because you hit that too perfectly.
You trade DeMarcus Cousins, and then, I was looking at some of the post All-Star break numbers for, like, LeBissiere and Willie Cauley-Stein. And while the wins weren't there, at least those guys were getting playing time, and hopefully the front office is using that time to evaluate these guys. But then you bring in Zach Randolph, and obviously that's going to take some minutes away from those two bigs. And, you know, it's just, it's a little curious. I don't know how you can serve two or three different goals. You know, you want to bring in these veterans to kind of, you still want to win games, because I, you know, we went through this where you have a completely young team like last year, you've got no veteran leadership and you don't win games. And I think there is something too, there is a value to having, you've got to have a balance to your roster, because if you go all young, you're just going to lose. And I'm not sure how much development can happen when you're constantly losing. You do need to be able to win some games, but yet you still want to get those young players some playing time, but that might not lead to winning. So it's just, it's kind of a riddle wrapped inside of an enigma, and it's not easy to figure out.
What was the name of that movie? The Dream That Was the Dream That Was the Dream. Inception.
Oh, Inception. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what that is. Oh. Alan's making a whole lot of friends here in Sacramento. There are a lot of people who are jumping in on the text line. Super. See, we told you Alan's not even here and he's thinking the way that we are. Have a great broadcast tonight. You guys got a fun team to watch, man. We're looking forward to seeing it tonight. And we appreciate your time, my man.
You guys, anytime.
Thank you.
That is Alan Horton, the voice of the Minnesota Timberwolves.